very much in favor of the counting of points.
Does it work for you? No.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your favorite figure skating podcast, The Run Through, where we talk about all the things that make us kiss, make us cry, and make us preview an event that already happened.
Sarah?
I'm not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes. Back with my co-hosts, Adam Rippon and Ashley Wagner, who did promise you last week a preview of Japanese nationals, which is over.
Well, we're... It's a reveal.
Yeah.
Just drop the P.
Here's the thing. All of you, and I'm talking to every single one of you that commented and like, Ashley, Adam, just so you know,
you all sound like that, by the way.
Yeah. Acting like you're
when we talk about you, that's what the voice we make, by the way.
Right. Acting like you're informing us that we're idiots. First of all, we already know.
We know. You can't teach us anything we don't already know.
You're not teaching me. You're
a husband and wife can't be charged with the same crime.
Exactly. Right. Thank you, Adam.
No, but also thank you so much for setting us straight. I think we just got so used to Japanese nationals happening during Christmas.
I just thought it was so funny to me. I'm listening to
it. We've gone for one episode and we're already spewing fake
news.
Complete
lies. Yeah. I mean, but also like the way that it happened where Ashley is saying, okay, so, and like Japanese nationals, that's next week, right? Maybe in 2 weeks. And Adam's going, yes.
Without hesitation.
Yeah. It's the blind leading the blind.
I enjoyed your meandering episode last week about sectionals and saltwater taffy and
the good old times.
Yeah felt like last year.
It was just like it was fun, but we're happy to have you back to ground us, Sarah. I think I told Adam this. I have news for you that it'll make you giddy inside.
Okay.
And I think our fans are going
scared now, but go on.
Our friends, our fans, our family is going to like this as well. And I think the person that I'm sharing this information about will enjoy it as well. I realized I know someone whose skating career started on January 6th.
Okay, and it's not
January 6th.
And it's the January 6th?
The. Like, where were you on Insurrection Day? She was at the ice rink for the first time.
I'm sorry. Okay, before or after the insurrection? She got there before, got there after? Like, was it in?
Well, she was at the insurrection, and so
it was
after.
And then she went to the rink right after.
She's going to be at our live show, and I will introduce you to her.
Wait, that's incredible, incredible stuff. I hope that she was inspired hearing in the women's lore that there were a couple people with, like, January 6th birthdays. Yelena Radionova, for instance, a January 6th birthday. So,
who would never be caught dead at an insurrection.
In a way, Radionova started her skating career on January 6th.
It's so true.
Started her
but
life.
She's not an OG truther.
You're right.
The way that I snapped back and was just like, I'm sorry, what? And you're just now sharing this with me?
It's funny that if that happened to me, I think I would like never go to the ice rink again because I'd take it as such a bad omen. I'd be like, oh, I wasn't supposed to be here.
That would set up
an imbalance in the universe.
Yeah, I think I would have been like, this is where I'm supposed to be. I think a completely different
mentality. Like the universe fears
it,
I've altered
the course of history by being here.
Yes.
So I have to stay. I have to keep coming back.
No, but I have had a sticky note on my computer to tell you this. She mentioned this to me and I immediately just wrote January 6th.
Never forget.
Never forget.
Great.
Can I talk about something quickly that feels like skating related?
Sure,
please.
And it will like segue right into Japanese nationals.
Okay. The preview or the review?
This will be the review. The preview, Sarah. Sorry, you weren't there. We did it last week. We previewed it by like teasing
saying it was going to happen.
By not sharing any information about it.
No, we're like, this thing is going to happen. Skaters are going to skate.
Yeah, they're going to. And they did. Okay, tell us.
Sarah, I know the answer for you, but I'm curious about Ashley. Have you been watching Heated Rivalry?
No, I need to watch this like horny gay hockey.
Okay.
Ashley, you need to. It's great.
I've kind of been
waiting for winter break to like settle in and go to my military father's house.
Yes. Yeah. Ask him if he wants to watch a hockey show with you.
Oh my God. I know.
No, that will be uncomfortable for you. I'll just say
I don't want to watch
smutty. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to do that, but like in under his roof would feel appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. I'm going to say this. The fifth episode just came out and the sixth episode is coming out when this episode comes out on Christmas.
Oh, or Mary, Christmas Mary. Night. Like it comes out at midnight on Friday. So it's like Christmas night for you, Adam, but on the East Coast, it's like midnight Friday.
Okay.
Just the keeping the viewers informed.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
So that you know when to tune into your horny show.
It's important for me to know.
What?
Keep going.
The first four episodes are kind of exactly like Sarah explained. Pornographic, smutty, as she said.
Yeah, as my grandmother would say.
And the fifth episode is maybe one of the best episodes of television I've ever watched in my life.
It's really good.
Really?
It's really good.
When you make it through, I had no problem with the smut, I will say. But when you make it through the smut, all the payoff from the fifth episode alone is like completely.
Yeah. It's really good.
I cried throughout.
You cried?
I like was tearing up at a couple points.
You'll cry, Ashley. It's not a joke.
You're not one to joke.
Well, what's crazy about it is that the books are not good.
That stuff is never good.
Sort of a miracle that they pulled basically a very entertaining, good show out of the books, because the books are sort of just like this. I haven't really read them. I like started one and I was like, I can't do this. But it's like very like rudimentary writing. Like it's not, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's great. Highly recommend.
Okay. Now we'll check out.
I'm bringing this up because I have my own personal heated rivalry. And I'm not like establishing
this. How is this
like,
connecting to Adam, Japanese nationals?
You'll see.
My personal heated rivalry, and I base this on, I have no knowledge of this at all. My dream heated rivalry is Kaori Sakamoto and Wakaba Higuchi.
Oh, I've shipped them from day one.
That's my heated rivalry. And I told Sarah that last night because we were talking on the phone last night and she was like, there's nothing heated about, there's no secret behind this.
Yeah, it was like heated rivalry is a secret. This is out in the open. Wakaba's sobbing as Kaori is skating on camera.
And it's like a love on for the ages.
I know.
It's a love for the ages.
It was so and sweet like, seeing her react to Kaori skating. Yeah. It's just like whether they're dating or not dating, it's just like very nice that they are all like all those skaters were cheering for her, like clearly emotional. I loved it.
Also, let's let it be known to our listeners that we are specifically not a podcast that outs any skaters. And because of that, we have no knowledge as to whether or not any of this
is actually true. And that's what I said.
Disclaimer.
Like, I'm not like, and you know, like, Ashley, that's like why you had to be here when I told this, because
you
would add a disclaimer.
Yeah.
And Sarah would add detail to my fake story. And that's why, like, we're such a good team,
yeah.
Like, the three of us.
We're telling a detailed fake story with a disclaimer.
You know what's so funny? It's like, depending on the fake story I'm telling, one of you will add immense detail into a lie that I'm telling, and the other one will fact check. But it depends on, like, what the story is.
Right, when Japanese nationals is.
Yeah, well... Right. And this was a situation where last week Ashley and Adam were adding immense details to each other's story about Japanese nationals, and I was nowhere to be found to fact check.
I would say that there weren't many details.
No, immense is taking it a step too far.
You're right. You're right. There were bordering on no details.
So vague.
Yeah. A step too far, as would be outing someone.
Okay, well, thank you for not outing anyone on this podcast, Adam, but I do support your delusion that
it's a delusion. It's like, that's all.
If the delusion were real, I would like it.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
I agree.
Okay, great.
If they're great friends,
then I love that too.
Yes.
No, this has like nothing to do
with
anything.
That's why I'm saying, like, either way, like, it made me emotional to just see her
care about her friend so deeply.
Yes.
Oh my God. Her sobbing.
Yeah.
Ice side or wherever she was.
Yeah.
Also, so nice. Her makeup, she's the most beautiful crier.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
like, yes.
Not everyone can look that good crying for their friend.
Yeah, well, no. not everyone sobs in a headpiece, like a headdress. She had
Oh, I've been
that
there.
That was nice. You have, but not everyone has.
That's why we said not everyone.
Right.
But some people, certainly.
Not all heroes wear capes, but they do sometimes wear headdresses.
Cry in a headdress.
Okay, so we have an Olympic team from Japan. So they are sending, this is like a little bit separate because they are sending three men, three women, two pairs, and then they only get a dance team in the team event. So that team like had to qualify, but they're only allowed to compete in the team event.
Okay.
But I think like let's just keep talking about the women first because we're already on it. So the women's team is Kaori Sakamoto, Ami Nakai, Mone Chiba, which is, I think, what we all expected.
Yeah.
But
after the Grand Prix final, yes.
Yeah, not like months and months ago. I think we had no idea what would happen. But as the season went on, it became more clear that those three were the three best eligible skaters.
Well, I think that's a great point. So if any of you listening are fans of the sport, learning about the sport, and you are looking at the results of Japanese nationals, and you're like, wait, who is this Mao Shimada girl? And why is she not in the running to be on the team? She did really well at these championships. She's not age eligible for the Olympic team. And
she got screwed by the Valieva rule. By the
Can you tell me the results?
The results
of the women's Japanese nationals.
Yes. Hold on. Let me pull up the actual order.
I think it was Kaori, Mao.
Yeah, Asada. I think it was Kaori.
Asada.
Mao Asada was there. They kept showing her in the crowd.
With Midori Ito.
Wait, did you see the shots? And Midori is like waving so excitedly and Mao is doing this polite thing. And then I think Midori literally takes Mao's hand and starts waving it for her.
So cute.
I love her energy.
Yeah. So yeah, the final results were Kaori Sakamoto, Mao Shimada, Mone Chiba, Ami Nakai. I believe that Ami was in third in the short program and swapped places with Mone after the free skate.
Okay.
But
Yuna Aoki was fifth.
Yuna Aoki was fifth and is like the second alternate for the Olympic team.
Wow.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not see, but I saw clips.
I don't know where Rion finished. She was not in the top 12. Yeah.
I saw that after the short program, something must have happened.
It went poorly. So Rinko Watanabe she ended up finishing seventh, I believe, but she's the first alternate for the team.
Okay.
Is Mao Shimada, as Ashley said, not age eligible and would have been had the rules not changed after Beijing. So that's
I
like
wonder
a
how
bummer.
Close she is. She's got to be like right
I think
there.
She's really close. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like on the bubble.
Yeah. So
only like on the wrong side of it.
I will say like I watching the final group of women in the free skate was just so impressive that for the most part, they really all kept it together. I mean, there were some hiccups, but like Ami Nakai had like struggled on her triple axel. Like she didn't get that done in the free skate, but like otherwise, I mean, I was just really impressed that they were all able to basically like keep their composure and skate really well under those circumstances. Kaori was just like, I mean, what else is new in a league of her own?
Yeah.
All weekend. Like, it's just not close, you know? She goes out in her, like, speed, power, flow. Like,
and then those programs, the packaging, all of it.
I know, all of it.
And we're talking about great skaters who she's next to, and she looks night and day better than them. That's it's amazing. It's incredible. So yeah, I was really
wait
happy
for
her
to win the Olympics.
Knock on motherfucking wood.
I know, seriously. You know what I was curious about? You talking about this Olympic team. I am wondering now for athletes like Ami Nakai, who, you know, I don't follow the junior scene closely. I'm not a believer in following the junior scene because I'm like, get to senior and then I will consider you. but no, just because I've seen so many junior girls like be like
I
the
get
next
it.
Hot thing and then nothing happens at senior. So she, for me at least, kind of came out of nowhere this season. Now she's on the Olympic team. I'm wondering what Olympics will be like for her because the hard thing is over.
Yeah.
She qualified for the team.
I know. Mm-hmm. So, she did the impossible.
Right. And now, if the biggest, most stressful part of this is out of the way, if she can just like let go at the Olympics, what does that look like?
It looks like 1 million little girls signing up for group classes at the end of Milan. That's exactly what it looks like.
I could see her being that girl.
I know a lot of people think that her packaging might look a little junior, especially the free skate.
Yeah.
And I think it's to her advantage of
makes her
becoming
accessible.
Like a star.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like you have three, you know, it's the same as if you look at the three American women or the three Japanese women, whoever. You want to be differentiated from like your teammates too.
Yeah.
And I think that it makes sense for her to be packaged in this sort of youthful, effervescent kind of way, because that's something she can lean into that Monet is not really doing exactly. Like, she kind of does it in the short, but different vibes. And Kaori's not doing that, obviously.
Right.
Like, so
yeah,
I think it makes sense to just lean into it and make that part of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I love it.
I think she set up the most of these three women to just kind of like be out of her own way. Monet, I think mentally, like Olympics is still
she looks like she carries so much tension in her body right now.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you need to have three massages in a row and acupuncture and like a flexibility specialist just stretching your body out and just relax.
Right. The fascia.
Yeah. It's true.
Tension is held in the fascia.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then Kaori, who's just like living her best life.
She's like, this is exactly how I would want her to be skating. Like, there's just like, there's a momentum behind her. There is, like, this is the last thing that she needed before the Olympics. She needed good skates. She needed to, like, release a lot of, like, energy, which I feel like she did. And I can't imagine how, like, emotional this Nationals was, because
I have to think this was probably more emotional than the Olympics will even feel.
I agree, because this is like at home in front of everyone. Everyone knows what's on the line for her here. Everyone in that arena wants it for her.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Everyone there knows. Like, everyone there is like, we want this for you.
Yes. Yeah. She got, this was her sixth one. Isn't that crazy?
It's just like hard to believe. It's not, but I'm just like, Kaori Sakamoto is going to be one of, if not the most decorated Japanese women skater of all time.
Yes. And it feels like it just sort of happened in this, almost like right under your nose. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we've been celebrating her. It's not like we like haven't known she's been doing it. It's just feels like in the blink of an eye, she's all of a sudden like one of the most accomplished skaters of all time.
But what I love about her skating is, you know, when I think of Japanese skating, I think of like Michelle's description of champagne bubbles. Like, it's very soft and feminine and classical and traditional skating. Mm-hmm. Or like, I think of like a Mao Asada.
Mm-hmm.
Kaori is powerful, strong. Like, you can't really simply define her.
Yeah.
And I love that that type of skater is one of their most successful skaters going down in history. Yeah. I think that's what's really cool about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, it was so nice to see. I want to give like a general shout out to, I think Fuji TV is who televises this for Japan.
Mm-hmm.
They do some really cool production stuff on their skating events that I just was really like, I was really enjoying and thought like
what?
Like they do when
they set some of the girls on fire and it's just like, oh, it's so beautiful. They set their dresses on fire mid ice.
Thank you.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Anything else?
See, look, this is what I mean. A lie. And it depends on what lie it is and then who feeds into it.
Yeah, so they set Kaori Sakamoto on fire.
Yeah.
And then...
when President Snow shows up.
No wonder Wakaba was crying.
Enough.
I told you.
Told me
everyone,
what?
I have
that
two gardeners here.
That you were just gonna keep lying?
Yeah, I want to keep lying. I want to tell a good fucking lie.
Also, just so everyone knows, Adam can't hear us right now. His the sound in his ear is down so low that if you're like, is he responding to what they're saying? He's not.
Am I talking over everybody? Like,
no, but we've said some things, and I'm like, he didn't hear us.
Yeah, because it's because like my own voice is just like muffling you guys out completely. So,
okay. Yeah. But they were doing this thing where like when one of the skaters would finish and they were like heading to the kiss and cry and they were like the next skater was getting on the ice. Like if they were going to go to commercial and come back, they would like show the next skater getting on the ice. But they would do like a graphic in the bottom of the screen of like photos of the next three skaters. And so it would
like
be
a lineup
coming up and it would be, yeah, like you would see in like in baseball or something where it'd be like the
that
next
cool.
three
Interesting.
Batters. I thought that was really cool. And then on like one of the coolest things I saw was on Kaori's replays when she was like, they had a replay from behind her coaches. So
yes,
they had this angle in the slow motion replay where you're watching from behind her coaches and seeing her hit her final position and watching like them hug.
That made me
cry.
And
you can see the crowd standing for her. I thought that was just like not an angle that I would have thought to put a camera on, but it was great. So anyway, I just shout out to Japanese TV. Like they're always doing cool, innovative stuff. Like they also always are doing cool, innovative stuff with like the measurements of how high and far a jump is and replays. Yeah. Like they've always done cool stuff like that. Do you remember when they used to do those? I don't know if they still sometimes do them. They would do like a replay of a program where they would have a diagram of the ice and they would show the entire tracing of the program in different colors for how fast the person was going at different points in the program.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That is cool.
It was so cool. And it like
we need to do that on Gold Zone.
It was a great, maybe we will. It was a great way to like see the ice coverage of a program and to see like where the skaters like pick up speed and slow back down and everything. I always thought
That's
it was so cool.
Really cool.
So I don't know. I love watching Japanese skating broadcasts because they're always like just being really innovative and trying new things.
But Sarah, to your point, I imagine a lot of what they're implementing is from baseball.
Yeah, because they love baseball.
They love baseball.
Yeah.
Speed trackers, distance, plays. Like it's all very similar to what they'd want to capture for a baseball game.
Yeah. No, and like the lineup thing feels very much like that.
Yeah.
And it's great because especially like if you have new fans or whatever, like just showing like who's coming up with faces, I think is so much more effective than just being like, and so-and-so is coming up next. Like a lot of times the American TV will do that, but it'll be like, and in 30 minutes, Alyssa Liu, and you're like seeing her backstage. But I think it would also be cool to be like, what's like right after this that I should stay for? You know what I mean?
Right. So, yes.
Anyway, I wanted to say something about the TV. That's all. Should we talk about the men?
Yes.
The men's team is Yuma Kageyama, Shun Sato, and Kao Miura. That's the order they finished in at Nationals. Mm-hmm.
Shun really is Mr. Reliable.
Yeah, he's like got himself sorted out this year. I wasn't worried post Grand Prix final about his position getting an Olympic spot, but yet again, he just, just does it in programs.
The last 2 years, the second spot has felt a little bit more open, but in this season, especially, I would even say this calendar year, Shun Sato has like closed that gap and is like, I will get in anybody's way. Like if they make a mistake, I will end up on any podium if you make a mistake, because I won't.
Well, and like more, especially this time, because he wasn't perfect in the short program. He was in fifth after the short and had to like pull himself up, but he won the free skate.
Whoa.
Right.
And you know, like, and that's hard. I think like you're looking at someone who's trying to make the Olympic team. You've got like a ton of nerves, a ton of pressure, and you do a short program that like doesn't go that well. I feel, I mean, you guys tell me from like being in that position, but having to then like pull yourself together and be like, okay, it's all riding on the free skate. That just seems so mentally difficult.
Oh, that takes pressure off for me.
Oh, really?
I think you have to be that skater though. I think some skaters are like, oh my God, I'm already behind.
Right.
Or there's some skaters that are like, that makes them, that puts them into like chase mode and that's where they thrive. So I think it really depends. Like I liked to chase, but that's scary for some people.
The thrill of the hunt.
Yeah. Some people, I can see it helping too. Like it, you're right. It would totally depend on the personality.
Well, cause you're part of it is like pressure's off. I'm already
nothing
like,
to lose.
If I stay here, I'm already fucked. So why not just like commit?
Yeah.
What happened to Kazuki?
Kazuki was fourth in the short program. So he was right there, and then he was seventh in the free skate, and he ended up getting sixth overall. But like that free skate has been a problem all year.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really just you know, like
it's sad. Been just like
I'm happy for the men who made it, and I'm also sad that we will not see Kazuki's short program specifically on the Olympic stage.
Sophie Tucker sits home.
Somebody else needs to do Sophie Tucker in his absence. We need to transfer there's the program. Another,
there are a couple of Sophie Tuckers on the scene. They're not coming to mind right now.
Yeah, Tate McRae. Zara Larsson.
I do think it would be such a fun thing if, like, when the Olympic selection happened, if you had a program that you were kind of thinking of scrapping or like wasn't super working for you and you made the Olympic team and someone who had a great program that you loved like didn't make it, if you could be like, hey, can I like use that,
can I have that?
Yeah,
I'll pay half of your choreography bill if I
an
can
homage
take that.
Yeah, you could pay.
Well, how would you feel like if someone was like, all right, I will give you back half the money you spent on that program, can I have it?
I'd say absolutely no fucking way, go get your own. That's what I would say.
I would say go
go fuck yourself.
What if
yourself?
They offered to pay for the whole thing?
No. I'd rather
you're paying
you skate.
Double.
No, if you think that, like, no, you made it with your own shitty program. You're not taking my good one.
Right.
I would never,
my good
over
one
my
I'm
dead
never
body.
Using again.
Yeah.
You made it with your own shitty program. That's oh, things I've said behind closed doors.
Yeah, I don't actually think that is a tenable thing that could happen, but I do wish that there was a way for me to just see Kazuki's
like a program.
Yeah, at the Olympics.
Who would you give it to?
Ooh, good question. Like on the Japanese team specifically, or I can give it to anyone?
No, you can give it to anyone.
I'm going to tell you what I would do.
Nikolai Mamola.
No, he's not ready.
Too tall for Sophie
Too
Tucker.
Tall.
He's not ready. He's not ready to take on that responsibility yet because he hasn't gotten to the point where he's like almost choosing that kind of music for himself.
Right. It needs to come from him.
He's still choosing the operas.
I honestly, you know who would do a good Sophie Tucker? Probably. Who's maybe Kevin? Not going to the Olympics. I was going to say Jimmy Ma.
I knew you were. Because I could see your eyes glazing over and your tinfoil hat kind of popping
creeping
up from behind
up,
your
shimmering.
Head. It was like actually. You know what I would love actually? Okay. I think love Jason Brown. Scrap Riverdance and take Sophie Tucker.
Wow. This is a fun game, you guys. We should make this into a game.
Interesting. I never would have thought of Jason for this one.
I thought of him immediately.
But I think he could do it. I think he could do almost anything. But that's true. He could do anything. Never would have thought of him first.
Well, you know who needs it?
Ilya Malinin.
Oh, no.
Ilya would eat it. He totally would eat Sophie Tucker.
I think he would. Okay. Olympic champion Sophie Tucker, Ilya Malinin.
Congratulations.
Congratulations on your Olympic gold medal. That would be really fun, actually, to see Ilya do more of like a kind of club vibe. Please do that at some point, Ilya.
I think he should, and I think that we would. I think everyone would eat it up.
No, I know. I think he would do a good job.
No, he would fucking kill that shit.
All right, easy.
I reserve the right.
Done. So we'll give it to Ilya or Jason. That's the verdict.
It's tough for me to say that as somebody who's like made my whole last year about river dance and about Irish step dancing in general. I would much rather see Sophia Tucker Coppola.
Her legal name on the stage.
Sophia Tucker.
Sophia Coppola.
Yes.
Also, speaking of artists, we were speaking about how Mariah Carey is singing in the opening ceremonies, and we had a lot of people very quickly commenting on valid Italian options.
I mean, okay. I did wonder when I saw that post, I was like, is she Italian?
And she's
I know
not,
you guys already
right?
went over that, but like, I don't think that she is. I mean, she.
I don't think
she has
a drop.
She has the vibes of like a New Jersey Italian American.
Ava Marie Ziegler.
Yeah, Isabeau Levito.
Yeah.
But like,
I mean, at least Levito. Like, at least Isabeau is like Italian.
Yeah, but I was laughing because.
No, she's Afro-Venezuelan.
Well, exactly. And that's perfect for the Italian.
That's my favorite part of Italy.
And Irish.
That makes complete sense. I loved that. Did you guys see, like, when Milano Cortina, like, the official account, like, posted it? The graphic announcing her just said, it's Mariah, it's your vibe.
They are out of money. They are out of ideas.
You know what it was making me, think of, Ashley? Hmm. Hot, cool, what? Yours. From Sochi.
Oh my God. Which was also the Wi-Fi password.
Hot, cool, yours was like the, whatever hot, you call it, the cool. slogan of yes. the games. Mm-hmm. I was like, is it's your vibe going to be the Milan one? Because kind of fun.
It is kind of fun.
It's Mariah.
Like, we're gonna be
it's
saying
your vibe.
It's your vibe.
It's your vibe.
It's your vibe. I will be saying that.
It's Mariah. It's your vibe.
It's your vibe.
It's your vibe.
It's your vibe. Okay, we'll keep on trying it on.
Yeah, I think we'll find it.
Is it better or worse than Passion Lives Here? I think Passion Lives Here was very early 2000s. That's
Passion
the slogan of the
good,
Torino games.
That's at least like a sentence.
A slogan. I think
it's your at least vibe a slogan. Is a slogan.
It's a slogan of a 17-year-old in 2025. Not even in 2019.
No, it's the slogan of a 36-year-old who thinks that they're speaking to a 17-year-old.
That's true. Ugh, it's your vibe.
It's your vibe. Nothing is going to ever beat Hot, Cool, Yours to me. It was was so good. I had no idea what it meant. I loved it. I loved
Neither
it.
Neither did they. It was a distraction technique so that they could get into the like
Crimea.
Crimea.
Sarah, that's really good.
I mean, that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
They were doping and invading. What else is new?
They were also blasting.
It was a distraction technique so they could get into Crimea. My God.
That's what I thought you
that's
were going
to what
say.
They were doing. She was
I
just,
wish I said
she
that.
She was fact-checking
is...
you. You yeah. were going off on a story.
You were lying.
She was
I was facting.
Exactly.
yeah. You know what? That's Speaking hilarious. Of Russia, did you guys Let's watch any it. Of Russian nationals this weekend?
Absolutely
I guess
not.
I'll finish off Japanese nationals, by the way, by just saying that the pairs teams are Mura Kihara, obviously, and then Nagaoka Moriguchi, who I actually love.
Love them.
They have the amazing side by side
loop axle.
Yeah, they have. They're great. They're really great. I really like.
I'm excited.
Them.
Okay.
Then, yeah, Yoshida Morita are the ice dance team in the team event. Okay.
Yes. Congratulations to your entire Japanese team.
Yes.
There is. I saw a video of I think a pair team that Itari Tutberidze coaches, and their side by side three jump combo was triple flip, triple toe, triple toe.
No, I know. We
this was at Russian Nationals?
This was like before. Oh. But I know at Russian Nationals, the only thing I did see was Mishina Galiamov. He was having a mental break.
When they lost, you mean?
Yes.
So I watched not like all the pairs, but I watched like the top four pairs in the short in the short and the free.
Tell us about it.
I mean, I do want to say
don't
this.
Don't tell us too much.
I don't miss the Russians as an overall entity in figure skating, but some of the specific talent of Russian pairs makes me really like wistful for their participation sometimes. Like they are just, they're excellent.
It's a really specific style. It's like classic.
And it's really and interesting. Good.
They hit everything. It's, I mean, for the most part, I mean, you know, obviously there's like with anything, they make mistakes, but like it's, oof.
I mean, it's just fascinating to me how the world has not caught up to the technique where, like, in every other discipline.
In pairs specifically.
In
pairs
only. Individually.
Yeah.
Because there's just something about it where it's like every other part of the world, like, there's somebody who's, like, you know, being creative or pushing boundaries in different ways, like when it comes to the women's event or the men's event dance. But in pairs, there's just like a huge gap between like the amount of good pair skating in Russia.
Yeah, like the depth of it.
The
like
depth.
No
of
other. Yeah, like I think like if you put these Russian teams against the best teams in the rest of the world, Haza Volodin, Miura Kihara, like if you like did that, they would be close. Like they would be with them. Like
yes.
The best teams in the rest of the world are with the best Russians, but like so are the fifth place Russians.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. Is the just depth. Like watching an event like this where it's like any of these teams could compete for an Olympic podium still, and they've just been in Russia.
Because they're competing against the best of the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And the technique is like it works. The training that they're doing works. So anyway, Boykova and Kozlovsky won the pairs event, which Adam is referencing. They were second in the short program, and then they beat Mishina Galiamov in the free skate and won.
Wow.
And yeah, it was like a scene.
It was a meltdown of epic proportions, and I was loving every second of it.
Okay, yeah. Can you say more?
I can say less. Okay.
What was
the scores come in. He's got a sour face. Let's just remember
in
he's
general.
Hot off the tails. Yes, in general.
Yeah.
He is
remember
hot off
when
the
he
tails.
Was wearing that wrist brace for attention at the Olympics?
100%.
Well, and by the way, those are his coach's words, not
yes.
mine. Moskvina said it was for attention.
Right,
I'm not
which
saying
is
that.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Sour face.
And so they're sitting in the kiss and cry. He's mad already because they see that they get third in the free skate, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and he's mad already because they didn't skate clean. Like, had they been clean, they would have been fine.
Yes.
I'm looking up a photo reference so I could, as you're saying this, I'm like, what does he look like again?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm here.
And so they're sitting there and Boykova is over, like they're doing basically the world setup where the teams
like the
are sitting
chair.
Next
right.
to each other, like you know, like a chair apart, and you can feel that like they see the scores are coming in and it's looking good for them. Mm-hmm. The scores come in, Boykova and her partner, they're sobbing, they start to cry, like it's they're like overcome with emotion.
Yeah.
And Kozlovsky is like, then he like gets up and like yells. He's like so excited. He's like, yes. And they're right next to them.
I love the leaders' chairs. I think they're so good. And when
incredible.
People are like, it's not fair to the athletes. it's amazing.
No,
and this
it's
a sport.
Sorry, this is a sport. Grow yep. up. Everybody grow up. Sometimes you need to have a disappointment or overcoming of like emotion in front of everyone. Like that's the point. It's a show.
Because also in tennis, when you lose the game and like your competitor drops to their knees and is so excited, it's happening right in front of you. It happens in every other sport.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, like stop.
I love it.
I don't think do any of the skaters actually have a problem with it. I just feel like a lot of fans.
I have not heard any skater talk to give me feedback. We asked post Worlds, we asked a lot of skaters for feedback for just like the setup, what they loved, what they hated. That was not something that came up.
Mm-hmm.
At least because the skaters I was working with.
It doesn't come up because you would never like admit that something like that you were weak about something.
I get to be visible to an audience full of people for longer.
For doing a good job.
Well, and then the added like drama of this is that they used to train together. They used to all be with Moskvina, and Bojkova and Kozlovsky left Moskvina, I think, somewhat dramatically. Like, I didn't follow everything, but like they're with Stanislav Morozov now, and I think they also work with Ateri. But anyway, so it's like former training mates. I think like they probably care more about beating Moskvina than they care about
100%.
You know what I mean? So. Yeah, it was good drama. But somebody on Twitter said, like, watching Japanese nationals and watching Russian nationals feels like watching two different sports.
The vibes are different.
Japanese nationals is like the girls are all crying about Kaori. And then Russian nationals, these boys are like about to fight each other at the boards.
Right.
It's amazing.
Well, Kaori raised those girls. Kaori's mother.
She's their mom. Yeah, their mom.
That's her litter.
Mother. A super successful figure skater.
Did either of you see any of Adelia Petrosian skating from nationals?
I haven't seen her nationals skating. I've only seen clips of her recently, though. I'm feeling disheartened, you guys.
About what?
Well,
I'm so curious to what you're going to say.
Well, first of all, I don't know. The clips that I've seen of the quads, I feel like by the time she gets to Olympics, they're going to be squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they're clean right now.
They're not clean right now.
I think that she's struggling.
Yeah.
I think she's doing her best, and I can't imagine, and I'm going to stop talking so you can get to your point.
No, I
think that she's doing her best, and I can't imagine the crippling amount of pressure that she is most likely under.
So true. I don't think that like everything that we are talking about is simply focused on like the technique and the like what she's putting out on the ice, not her as a person, not like her. I think as a skater, I really feel for her. She's in such a difficult position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
I couldn't imagine.
Agreed.
And
okay, go on. I'm curious of why you're disheartened.
Because I just don't see a world where I think she's going to win.
Oh, I don't think she's... I don't even know she'll be on the podium, if I'm being very frank.
Here's the thing. I think she's going to be on the podium. And I think if she goes to Olympics and gets her technique to where it needs to be and does quads, like, it's going to be really frustrating that we have just... Besides the quads being on competitive ice, I feel like I've been watching these women for seasons now, and I have an emotional attachment to them, and I'm just not familiar with her. And then on top of that, there's this storyline of like the Russians are coming back in. And so there's like that emotional tie that feels negative, and that's not fair to her, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so it feels weird, and I don't like what it's doing to her as a person, but then as a skater, I'm just like, I feel like I know where it's going to go because it always goes there.
Well, it always went there because
what's different
now? I think the biggest difference is the way that like it's always who's at the top is basically sort of like what is trending, what kind of like skating is being rewarded. People want to be like the person who's up at the top, and the person up at the top has been like a Kaori Sakamoto, where we've been, especially in this season, talking about how mature and how just like head and shoulder she just feels and seems above all of the rest. And when I watch a Cowrie, and I feel like that kind of program and the intricacies of what that takes, I think I've seen that like throughout the entire women's event, where it's like those are the programs that are being rewarded, that like you can feel something with it. And that's kind of that's the difference maker of the quality of skating is really important in the women's event, the quality of how you do things. And when you see Petrosian skate, I think like there's a huge gap between the way that she and many of the girls skate, like quality of skating, a huge gap.
I agree with that.
And when I see like and she doesn't do the axle perfectly, triple axle perfectly.
No.
The quad isn't perfect. I think she's really struggling. I think that like there's been clips where it's like you can see Atari interact with her, and Atari seems to be very like understanding with her, mm-hmm. and to not be pushing her as you might be pushing a wild dog. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a different level of whatever, but she seems to be very like wanting to her to be in tune, because again, like you can push these little girls as far as they can, but once they become 17, 18, like the body like keeps the score. And so Terry's not, you know, an idiot. She knows that. And so she's having to like really maintenance an athlete in a way she's not had to before.
Yeah.
And I think that like the triple axle and the quads and stuff, like these aren't things that like, it's not like Ilya doing the quads where it's like, this is going to push him like 30, 40 points ahead of everyone. It's like Petrosian needs these, because if she doesn't even try them, she's,
what does she have?
She's, yeah. I think she's behind Amber. She's behind all three Japanese girls. She's, I think, skating skills like on par with Alyssa.
But look at how she scored at Chinese Nebelhorn.
Still not well.
But
we're
not
barely
bad.
Breaking 200.
I think I will say though too, like, and I'm glad you said that, Ashley, because it's like helps like me segue to this point, which is when you're looking at Chinese Nebelhorn, that was an event where she was expected to win, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's, I think, like a mental thing that happens obviously with judges where like that's the favorite, right? When she goes to the Olympics, that is not the situation she's going to be in. And like she's going to skate second in the short program, I think the Belarusian girl goes first, and then she has to go second because she has no points. So she goes really early in the short program. The best she can do points wise would be to have a triple axel in the short, which her triple axel is not very good, in my opinion, based on the clips I've recently seen. It's not in a great place. And like, we're talking about, when you look at the top, like there's two American girls who might do a triple axel in the short program if these videos of Alyssa are to be believed.
Oh,
there's,
I know.
Ami Nakai is going to do a triple axel. Like, and then you have Cowrie, who can outscore these girls even with a triple axel. Monet Chiba, same thing. She can be right there. Like, I don't think she's going to be in the last group of the free skate. So because of where she has to go in the short program, combined with the like skill difference, like she just can't skate like everybody else. And like, so, and she doesn't have anything built up reputationally other than she's Russian and is with a Terry.
Right.
Which is a reputation for sure, but like it's not nothing. But I think she's going to be in the second to last group probably in the free skate. And I think that's just going to be tough to like, what, then you're going to win the Olympics from?
No, that's,
you know what I mean?
Point.
That's what I feel like is going to happen. I mean,
I completely agree with you, because like, Alyssa, if she's skating so early and she doesn't do the axel, she's at such a disadvantage, because and this is to not take anything away from her. She's a fantastic athlete, but like her program isn't, and it would be much, she has to be back to back with everybody like in the top. If she's so far in the beginning, there's just room to be
left.
They're
going to leave room. You know, I mean, I just don't, you know, and I think if you like score her components fairly, even if she were in the final groups, she would be, you know, significantly less on that side than someone like a Cowrie. And she's going to be significantly less because she's going 3 hours before her, you know? So I don't know. I think that's going to, I actually think the start order is going to make a big difference.
And see, think that is definitely one way to consider it. My concern there is that they're just going to be like, well, she shouldn't be here anyway, so let's go to town.
Maybe, yeah.
Like, she shouldn't be this low, so we're not going to judge her. Like, this is her actual start order. And there's going to be a lot of bumping to get her where they quote unquote, being
the ISU?
The judges in the ISU, yeah. But, and you know, everybody. Like,
whether it's right or wrong, I think a lot of people are excited that a Terry has a student in this event.
No.
So I don't think that there are any favors.
Terry's not allowed to be there, right? Or she's not allowed to be there with her because, yeah. But she can
she's
be credentialed for like
be
her Georgian
at
team
the
and be
boards,
around.
I believe she cannot be at the boards during competition.
She might
with
be allowed.
Her.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know exactly because I think she can go, but she has to be credentialed through like a different team.
Which is means
she'll
that
be
she
there with,
could be at
yeah,
the boards.
She'll have a man and a pair team, but like
she'll have Nika.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. The whole thing is, I mean, yeah, Ashley, we're going to know right away because she skates so early. We're going to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I do think for her to get what the push that you're talking about possibly happening, that program needs to be squeaky clean. And if she throws out that axle and it's not very good, I think she, whatever potential push she was going to get is going to disappear.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that's a good read.
I think for her, her entire Olympics comes down to the triple axel in the short program.
Yep.
The entire Olympics. And doing a triple axel, it's not just doing it. You need to do it cleanly.
Well,
because if you don't do it well, you're at a complete disadvantage to people doing clean double axels.
Correct. Yeah. Because if you mess up your triple axel, Calorie's going to outscore you with a clean double.
Easy.
By a couple points.
Uh-huh. And Wakaba will be there crying. Not about you.
Not for you. No.
But I get, Ashley, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
But Sarah, I think that that's how I imagine that playing out as well.
I share, Ashley, I think there's just no way for us to know. I share like the dread.
Me too.
That it's possible. Yes. But I am more hopeful than I maybe once was that there is not this big conspiracy push to, you know, put her on the Olympic podium.
I was hopeful after the Olympic qualifier of that she just didn't get like an 84 for like a normal short. Do you know what I mean? Which is like, we just were coming to expect that like Sherbakova would go out and she'd do the same program that Wakaba Higuchi came out and did, which to me, no comparison.
And you're still living in Grenoble.
And it would just be like, well, Sherbakova's just going to get an 85.
Yeah. No, yeah. So we'll see. You guys, we have a surprise for the listeners.
Yes, we do.
We do.
It's an important surprise.
We're ending the show.
Well, surprise, this is the end of this episode. First of all, surprise. Second of all, if you are a Patreon subscriber on Christmas Day this week, so that's Thursday of this week, we will be dropping a bonus dance lore episode featuring Michelle Ellis, dance lore extraordinaire. That's
going to
be
baby.
Patreon only. Because a lot of our Patreon subscribers have been with us for 6 months and we haven't been able to do a lot of bonus content. So we really want to thank you guys for being subscribers and supporting us because the lore especially, but all of these episodes like take so much of our time and we like work really hard to make sure that we have episodes every week and it means a lot to have your support while we're doing that. So we hope that you accept this token of our gratitude in the form of a 2-hour dance bonus lore. I don't know if it's fully 2. And you will be rewarded with potentially a second bonus lore coming up.
Yes. Good things come to those who wait 6 months.
And what we're going to do is we're going to play the outro music on this episode. And then if you're listening to the audio version, we're going to play the first few minutes of bonus lore so that you can get a little preview. And then if you're not a subscriber, maybe you want to become one to listen to bonus lore. And we do put the Patreon episodes up as video. But if you're on your phone and you prefer to listen on audio, you can just hit play on the video and then you can like you can lock your phone and it, the audio will keep going. Mm-hmm. You can listen to it audio wise. So
yes. So
or that's what Adam has told me.
Oh yeah.
He has
that
listened
works.
To the Patreon. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is our Christmas gift to you. We still have a few tickets left available to our live shows. We have our sold out show on Saturday.
Yes.
But we still have just a very few tickets left for Thursday and Friday. So yep. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, there are a few left. So as Ashley said last week, wouldn't it be great to give somebody a Christmas gift for something Period. That's going to happen in the future?
Like yes. a preview.
Rosie, can you say Merry Christmas? Panicking.
She's can just breathing at us.
Can you say Merry Christmas? No. Okay, no. That's fine.
I don't want to say it. We'll say no. it. Merry no. Christmas, everyone, or Happy Merry Hanukkah, Christmas. Or anything that you are
Happy
celebrating.
Happy holidays. Yes.
Anything that you're celebrating, we hope you're
Is
having
great.
The greatest season of the year. I love the yes. holidays.
Yeah, we hope love that you feel like Wakaba Higuchi watching Kaori Sakamoto skate a clean free skate at Japanese Nationals this yeah. holiday season.
I really hope you feel like that. And that's all we have. And Rosie is deconstructing Ashley's mic live
and uncut.
Thank
it's a
you.
A little ASMR.
And we'll be back next week with our New Year's episode, Best Moments of the Year. Ah! Yay! Cue the soundboard.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Hello, everyone. Happy holidays. Happy lore bonus episode. Welcome to the run through. I'm Adam Rippon. I'm here with not Olympic champion Sarah Hughes, also not Olympic champion Ashley Wagner. I am still waiting on my own Olympic title, and our fourth not Olympic champion, the incredibly famous Michelle Ellis, is here yet again.
She's back.
There's lore where that came from. I'm stealing that from Sarah Hughes before we recorded the episode.
Before we even
bonus
start.
Dance lore.
I would say Michelle of the four of us is the closest to an Olympic title. Probably.
I think that she's going to bring us closer to an Olympic champion today.
Yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. I barely got through my gold dance tests. Okay. I'm not qualified. I don't like skating
you
with
are
boys.
Qualified.
Yeah. I will also disagree with that. But that being said, we're so lucky to have you here.
Thanks for having me again and having me in video. I'm going to hide behind my microphone.
You look great.
It's a great microphone,
Your microphone,
by the way.
Looks great.
Yeah, isn't it a nice mic?
Where did you get it?
I don't know. I may have stolen it from someone.
Someone without an Olympic title. Mm. Doesn't really narrow it
Could
down.
Could be a lot of us.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't really narrow it down.
Not a really good guess who hint.
Yeah. Okay, so not Michelle Kwan. Oh, wait, actually, no. Could be Michelle Kwan.
Could be. Could still be her.
Ashley, did you say Michelle O. Kwan? Like, were you going to say Michelle Obama for 1 second?
No. Did I do that?
I heard Michelle
Obama. So not Michelle Obama, but it's Michelle not Michelle Obama either.
Could I mean, Michelle Obama also not an Olympic champion.
Right.
So it could be anybody.
There's so many people on this list.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Before we recorded, and this is my direct directions were stop talking about it so we can talk about it on this bonus episode, our Michelle was asking me what I'm doing with my Sonia Henie art that I've talked about on the podcast. And I said that, and Ashley told me I'm a doer because I have already worked on getting them framed and I'm picking them up in a few days. And
you have had this in your possession for all of what, a week, maybe two?
Yeah, two. But what was I
mean,
going to just do?
Like, I feel like hanging on to it. I don't know. Like it's, he has to hang it up in his house.
No, but you're right. It's a doer
thing. Part of the
thing.
Process is you look at the like circular container for about 6 months then you're like, I will do this one day.
No, I need do this
you're
now.
You're a doer.
Yeah. Because
you are a doer. You love a project.
I do. And so when I went to the frame store I was explaining, and they were picking out mats, and they were just like trying to do like different colors, and it's going to look really nice. But the Chesterfield cigarette ad specifically looked really good with a silver frame. And I said, I know this looks really good, but unfortunately, I have to tell you something. And they said, okay. And I said, the woman in this photo, she's a 3-time Olympic champion. And I do feel like she would personally haunt me. Yes. And curse me if I were to put her in a silver frame. So it needs to be a gold frame. And they were like, I get it. They said, I get it right away. So we picked a mat and everything that looked really nice. And when I said, oh, this is going to be amazing. And they turned to me and they said, yeah, she's going to love this. And I said, oh, this isn't a gift for her. She's long dead.
Right. They're like, your Nana will love this so much. Yeah.
Your Nana is so beautiful. Your Nazi sympathizing Nana. Right. You're like,
well,
love
let
this.
Me tell you a story.
And so that's it.
You could always bring it over to that art museum.
Yes, the Norton Simon.
Yeah, you could bring it over there.
I'm sure they'll love it. I could bring
it. It's in LA, isn't it?
The Norton Simon Museum?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's like down the block from me.
Yeah, so you can just pop in there and be like, I made this for you.
I made you an ad from the 30s. Well, without further ado, Michelle... it's an honor to have you here. It's a privilege to see you in the flesh and to hear you speak.
Thank you so much. So ever since I recorded the Dance Lore episodes with you guys, I've been learning new information. There were things that came up in the episodes that I went and looked up. There were things people told me. I heard some crazy stories. I learned some new things. And so I just kept a running list of all this stuff. And I thought, we could do a bonus episode covering the additional lore. There's also a lot of stuff I had in my outline that I didn't get to because I was so like caught up in telling the story, but I feel like these are important details to include. Mm-hmm. And to the girl who is making the outline of all the run through lore, this is not a new page. This is like, go back to the original one and enhance
and put it
the spreadsheet.
Other pages.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
What time span does the bonus lore, like, does it span the entirety of the lore?
No. It goes from 1988 until around 2018, but usually actually a little bit earlier than that. Yeah. We're going to talk about the Dushanes. We're going to talk about Grishuk and Platov. We're going to talk about Usava Platov. We're going to talk about... witchcraft.
Sinister smile.
And we're going to talk about Virtue and Moyer. And some other stuff.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Some other stuff. Okay.
Among other things.
Yeah. And we're going to end with a list of crimes. So.
Don't we always?
There is a lot of crime in skating lore.
Well, these are all crimes perpetrated by one person. So.
Donald Trump.
Famous figure skater.
It's our favorite segment on the Patreon only version of the podcast where we go and we list every felony of Donald Trump.
That's a long
episode. We've literally never done.
Until now. Well, we've never done a bonus lore episode, so we'll do it every episode. We end every episode with a crime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this will be no different. Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, where are we going? Start us off.
Part one is called The Story of a Brother and a Sister.
I hate it already.
Is this the incest adjacent preview that you gave us?
A little bit. So I want to talk a little bit more about the Dushanes because I just touched on them quickly. You know, as part of the like three medalists in this season leading up to the 92 Olympics. But I want to talk about two more programs of theirs that I didn't get to because they're so bizarre and yet so influential. So the Dushanes, they started skating for their brother-sister team from Canada. They started skating for France in 1985 because, as you may remember, Canada wasn't into their
weirdo stuff.
Flavor of weirdness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not into brothers and sisters touching.
Being weird together. So they started working with Christopher Dean a couple years after that. And
who's completely fine with brothers and sisters touching. Yeah.
And
famously.
And marrying one of them. So in 1988, they competed this free dance at the Olympics in Calgary that was choreographed by Christopher Dean and his partner, Jane Torville. And it was called Savage Rites. And this program really was the Duchesne's like breakthrough onto sort of the world scene, where they really got everyone's attention. Their performance of this free dance in this competition, it was like the second most popular free dance of the night after Tracy Wilson and Rob McCall, who were like the hometown team. And this program, Savage Rites, was very animalistic. It was sort of jungle inspired. It had this percussive sound and like tribal movements. And it was full
I have
of these,
a question.
Yeah.
Is Savage Rites the name of like the music track, or it's just like the name of the piece?
Both.
Okay, I feel like I've maybe said this before, I don't know, on air or off air to you, Michelle, mm-hmm. but I feel like we need to bring back people just like naming their programs something that's the music.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But is like they're naming a play. That's what I want more of those.
I don't think the original music composition was called Savage Rites. I think they edited it together and that was what they called
and
it.
They called and it. Okay, and, so see, that's like naming your concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring it back.
And
these are Savage Rites.
The team had like it had all of these like really unique transitions and these kind of predatory movements and this very contemporary movement, like a lot of times with them bent over forward with their heads thrown back, if you can picture that, and their leg like bent out behind them. And
I never like to picture siblings doing that together.
It's very primitive. And Paul said it's like a scenario where we're two survivors in a jungle surrounded by a thousand dangers.
Hey, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the preview of Bonus Lore Part 1. You can listen to the whole episode at patreon.com/therunthroughpodcast. Happy holidays. We'll see you next week.